This is the Truth Network. Matt Slick is president and founder of the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry. Matt is a Master of Divinity and is ordained. He's passionate, and Matt stands firm and lives to defend and promote the Christian faith. Matt Slick doesn't take any Monday through Friday, Matt takes calls from all around the world on his radio show. We've compiled this week's best. Matt Slick's Top 6.
Number 6.
I have a question about mediums. How are they able to connect with people who have passed on?
They don't. They are what's called familiar spirits, and they're demonic forces that imitate past people. The mediums are actually in contact with demonic forces, and they're called familiar spirits, like I said, and they can imitate, and they have information. Because in the spiritual realm, they're very powerful, very knowledgeable, and that's all that's going on. Okay.
Number 5.
Is it possible for someone to be, call themselves Catholic and go to Mass, but be saved?
Yeah, I believe it is possible. When I say possible, I don't mean probable, but can there be individuals in their ignorance who are doing this and still be saved? Yes. I believe the Holy Spirit will gradually bring them out. Anyone who believes official Roman Catholic theology and then dies, when they die, they'll go to hell because it teaches a false gospel. Absolutely. But try this with your family, trying to get them to see, because they're very enculturated within the, you know, the Italian culture. They probably speak, I don't know if they speak Italian. The statues, Mary, the pomp and everything. So just ask them, do they believe Jesus is God? They're going to have to say yes. Can Jesus hear every prayer that we offer because he's God? Yes. If you ask Jesus to forgive you of all of your sins, will he forgive you of all of your sins? Well, that's the question. Some Catholics will say yes. Some will say no. If they say yes, you say, well, then why do you need anybody else? Why do you need a priest?
Number 4.
And do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. But what the text is saying is don't complain, brethren, against one another. You're, in a sense, judging one another when you complain against them. And there are different levels of judgment that you can give, or levels of complaints. You can complain, I don't like that guy's shirt. That's different than, I don't like that guy's doctrine on, you know, the rapture, whatever it might be. Or this person hasn't been very nice, and so you continue to complain about that person, which becomes not gossip, but it's a lack of forgiveness, a lack of love and humility. And he says, so that you yourself will not be judged. And so the idea of judgment here is not of salvation. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and have our works judged. And these are works. See, we're justified by faith alone in Christ alone. But everything we do is going to be judged. So how are you talking to your wife or your friend? How, you know, did you litter that day and no one knew, but you threw something out the car window? Things that you don't think are going to be an issue are going to be an issue. Everything we do is moral.
Number 3.
How should we treat gambling? Occasionally or not at all? Or
that's a tough one. Gambling is a form of seeking chance for benefit. And that's unbiblical, because God is a sovereign king, and with, as he says, you cast a lot, he's the one who causes it to go where he desires. So we have to make sure that what we're not doing is looking to any form of gambling for safety or for provision, because that's a waste of the providential provision that God has given us. But then again, what do you do if, you know, you buy one lotto ticket a week or one lotto ticket a month? Is that gambling? Yes, it is. But is it frivolous? Well, no, it's not. Is it out of control? No, it's not. And so I can't say, for example, that buying a lotto ticket is sinful. I can't say it's not, because the Bible doesn't really talk about things like that in that way. We don't want to use those kinds of things as the means by which we're to be provided for. We need to trust God.
Number 2.
You challenge me to a debate. Let me explain. You say, I'm going to debate you. Oh, debate on what? The Trinity. Okay, what's the Trinity? You don't even know. And it's funny.
That's why you should tell me. Well, why would you take a person? If the Trinity is supposed to be the gospel.
No. The Trinity is not the gospel, okay? You're making all kinds of
it's
mistakes.
It's not the gospel truth, okay?
Oh, no, wait. Stop.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Matt.
Go ahead, I'll stop.
Calm down, yeah.
Okay.
The thing is, when people ask me to debate them, I want to know if they're qualified to debate me. It's not because I'm arrogant or prideful. Sometimes people want to debate me. They have no clue what the issue is. I've done this for years, okay? So I have to ask them, oh, do you want to debate the Trinity? Well, what is the Trinity? And you said you didn't even know. Now, the question then becomes, how can you debate the Trinity if you don't even know what it is? Okay. So is the Bible the final authority then?
No.
Well, what is the final authority?
Truth is, whatever that may be, whether we can or cannot discern it at any given moment in time or any place.
Nothing. Can you define what truth is?
Truth is the actual or real state of a matter.
And how do you know that definition's accurate?
Just as well as you know that the Bible is inerrant.
No. I asked you this question. How do you know that definition is the right one? How do you know it's proper?
Why? I'll give you an argument from the impossibility to the contrary. If that wasn't the right answer, then truth wouldn't actually have any meaning. It wouldn't be true all the time, and therefore everything would be relative, which is itself logically inconsistent, as you well know.
Now, you begged the question there. Do you believe God exists?
Yes, I do believe God. Yes.
Does he know everything?
Absolutely. All the time.
Then wouldn't truth be that which corresponds to the mind of God?
Were those two things mutually exclusive? Was the definition that I gave and the definition that you gave mutually exclusive? Because they are not.
My definition rests in the heart and mind of God. Yours is in philosophy.
You guys give up or you're thirsty for more?
And now the end is near.
This is the end, beautiful friend.
I always trust a guy named Matt Slick on the radio.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Matt Slick's Top 6. For more on Matt and his live syndicated call-in radio show, go to truthnetwork.com. Got a question? Matt Slick has your answer. This is the Truth Network.